Welcome to Stay on Course with me, Julie Riga. My life has been a roller coaster of highs and lows, but what I know to be true is that when we are grounded in our purpose and savor the sweet moments of life, we are truly a success. Today, you are going to get the ingredients for success because life is salty and life is sweet. Together, let's explore the possibilities of our own lives and learn from thought leaders around the globe. Ready, guys? Let's cook it. Is stress relentlessly consuming your life, making you feel like everything is crashing down? Well, buckle up, because today we're smashing through those walls and unleashing the power of a two-minute stress relief technique. Are you ready to reclaim control and turn stress into your stepping stone to success? Let's cook it. Welcome, welcome everyone to the next edition of the Stay on Course podcast. Today I have a very special guest, Sarah Nakamura. And Sarah specializes in assisting individuals in integrating the challenges of stress. She has guided countless individuals in achieving their goals while maintaining a healthy work-life integration. Sarah Nakamura's best-selling book, Stressed Out and Don't Know What to Do, is a valuable resource for heart-centered leaders who are struggling with stress and burnout in various areas of their life. Welcome, Sarah, to the Stay on Course podcast.
Oh, Julie, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Great. And we are going to have an amazing conversation today. But before we get started, I ask all of my guests, what is your favorite food?
Oh my goodness. With a food and beverage background, I'm half European and half Asian, and I'm an islander. I love sushi. I love the simplicity of it, but it's also so complex at the same time.
So today we are talking about when stress strikes. And I am very, very passionate about this because I do work around conflict resolution. And I also work with people who are getting on stages and presenting. So it's that moment of time when stress strikes that I love to help people with, to help them understand what can I do in the moment to help relieve the stress. So I'm excited about this topic today because I want to go deep with you and I want to get to understand what you do as a stress expert to help people through those times.
Well, stress is such a big topic, isn't it, Julie? Especially these days. And my background has been that I was in food and beverage. I got burnt out. And what did I do? Instead of going into another role that was super stressful, I went into stress relief. So I became a massage therapist and I help people with their stress. But guess what was happening is that I was stressed out myself. So I had to figure out some techniques to help me too, because that was just, I was going to burn out doing massage also. So that's where the 2-minute techniques came from. Wow. So yes, let's take a deeper dive into it.
Oh my gosh. And you know, I'm thinking about the hospitality industry and for those listening, working in the hospitality industry, it is not for the faint of heart. It's not.
It's certainly not. It's certainly not. Especially a 24-hour town like Las Vegas.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine. You know, my father was in the hospitality business and it's just like, I saw the man and how stressed he was all the time. And you know, a lot of people smoke in the hospitality industry.
Sure do.
I guess that's just another way of breathing. I think that's just like another way people breathe because they're taking a smoke and they're trying to stress relieve. So tell us a little bit about the 2-minute technique and how we can utilize it through our day or when we're triggered by stress.
There's so many different 2-minute techniques that I've created, and some are very, very simple, like a little bit of sushi, right? And, you know, basically one of the things that I like to share also is a 2-minute technique called the Zen Zone. That Zen Zone just gets you into a place where you can start to relax, get into a place that's mentally in your mind. And it's something that you've kind of created to where you can just go, hey, take that breath. I'm okay. Everything's good. And get going.
So it's a Zen moment.
Yes.
It's a moment of breathing and slowing everything down.
Absolutely. And where I like to take people is, when you take that deep breath in, do it in a space where you're kind of not in that weirdness, right? I mean, if you're doing it in the middle of a room, that's okay. But what I like to tell people to do is go to the bathroom, go wash your hands, get that cool water on your hands, and then you can just wipe away that stress. You take that deep breath in, and then when you let it out, let it just wash down that drain. Create that Zen zone in your mind. And, you can actually create one in your own home. So if you take your bathroom, you put a little bit of aromatherapy and you put a nice relaxing light in there. So next time when you wash your hands, you start getting that kinesthetic connection to calming down and relaxing. So when you're in a public bathroom, you can do the same thing and it brings you to that moment.
Oh my gosh, I love this idea. I think I'm going to do this at home. I work at home and I'm going to do this like in my space when I need to get away from my desk because I sit here for hours.
Exactly. It's a great interruption to that, stickiness that like when you're getting that in that stuck moment, you go, okay, let me get up, take a sip of water, go wash my hands, come on back and just change your whole energy.
Okay, I love that. So that is the Zen zone. And now we're going to talk
Yes.
about another. Oh, you have, what is
It's a
that?
door hanger. And it says, please do not disturb. I'm in my Zen zone. Just hang it on your door. I'll send one to you. I'll just hang it on your door and just let everyone else know that this is my own space. I need time for myself.
We constantly now are talking about wellness, well-being, creating spaces in our life to look after our personal well-being. So I love where you're going with this. Tell us some ingredients that we can put into the mix for dealing with stress when stress is triggered.
Yeah, you never know when stress is going to strike. And wherever you are in that stress cycle, I have five ingredients to share with everyone. And those ingredients add up to what's called the I care system. So that first ingredient is the I. So go inside of yourself because that solution really is within you.
Yeah. And going inside yourself is the awareness that not everything is the problem. The problem is the problem. And, because, well, because everything feels like so heavy because there's so much to deal with in life, especially if you have children, a job, aging parents. I mean, the list goes on, friends that annoy you. You could say those people too. Like there's so many different things that we deal with on a regular basis. And so understanding to go inside first. Okay, what's the next one?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And the second one of the I care system is the C. So contain the challenge, the problem, the stressor. And what I mean by contain it is that, whatever's going on for you right in that moment, we don't need to have, that outside influences. We don't need to look up on Wikipedia or any other, social media site for the answers. Contain the challenge that's right at hand.
Wow, that's good. Because what ends up happening if you start doing Google research or asking people, and now you're getting another story to put on top of your story.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's just a story.
That's right. And so where do we sift through to get to the truth, right? So that's why we contain it.
I like that.
Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely.
What is next?
So next, you said it already, it's awareness. What is that awareness of that challenge, that stressor, that problem? And sometimes it's as simple as just being hangry. We didn't get enough sleep, our blood sugar's low. Maybe we just need a little snack. Maybe we just need to replenish just a little bit. Having that awareness that it can be such a simple solution, or it can be something so much more complex. It can be something that's beneath the surface. Maybe it's something that's been a chronic stressor that's been lingering over and over in your life. So have that awareness of where is this stressor coming from? Where is this challenge coming from?
And I talk a lot about going to the balcony and looking down at yourself and seeing what you're doing or what you're thinking or what is triggering you, because it could be just as simple as, what will they think of me?
Mm-hmm. It certainly can be.
What will they think of me will trigger so many bad things.
Mm-hmm. And think about how many times that plays out over and over and over. You know, we need 10 positive thoughts to counterbalance that one negative thought. And if we're having that one thought, whew, that's tough.
You need to say that again. People didn't hear what you just said. Can you repeat that, please?
Absolutely. And I'll say it kind of in reverse. When you have that one negative thought, that's going to linger for you until you have 10 positive thoughts. And that's what that balance is. Can you imagine 10 to 1? Whew.
Yeah. I mean, listen to the Stay on Course podcast.
Absolutely. That's a great way to do it as well.
I mean, I all of our problems exist in the stories and those thoughts that we have. That's where all of our problems exist. I mean, we do have real problems, but half of the problems exist in the current story you're telling yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's your own truth, right? Because, you know, if you believe it to be true, then it is.
It is. It's absolutely true.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you believe you can, you can.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe you can't, you for sure can't.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, when Henry Ford, you know, put together his company, and when you're talking about, can you or can't you, which are you deciding? When you're deciding in that moment that you can, ooh, it's so powerful, isn't it?
So powerful. It's so powerful because you become superhero-like, and the thing that you think that you can't do, all of a sudden you can do.
That's right. That's right. And it's that inspiration that comes from within, because when we have that motivation from the outside, motivation only goes so far, doesn't it?
Mm.
You know, that inspiration, I mean, maybe kind of like when your father was cooking, what inspires him to create those ingredients and to make those dishes, that goes a long way.
My father was creating experiences for people is what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He was creating connection experiences. That's really what he was doing. And I see that now because I see myself doing some of those things, but it is about that. It's about having a deeper sense of purpose, because everything comes out of that. Your energy, your excitement, your passion to serve comes out of your personal purpose. And when you connect to that, I believe that great things happen. We're getting deep. Sarah, we're getting deep here.
You said you want to get deep, Julie. And, you know, we're going beneath that surface. We're getting deep here.
I want to go beneath the surface because this is like difficult stuff. We're talking about stress. We're talking about the moment you're being triggered. The way I think of it is that you're being triggered during a moment of conflict. That moment of conflict is like critical, because the minute you start to get that fight or flight response, you really need to take a pause. You really need to like go regroup so that you can activate the thinking part of your brain and you're not acting out of your emotions. So I love the idea that we're coming up with some tactical ideas on how to fight through those things.
Yeah. And just like you said, you know, we do get into that fight or flight mechanism. And unfortunately, we're there more often than we aren't. Like you were talking about earlier, all of the stressors that happen, you know, you turn left, you turn right, there's a stress from this side, there's a stress from that side. And, you know, people put their stress onto others. And sometimes we take that on. We take that on from our caregivers. We take that on from our loved ones, and they don't mean to put that onto us, but sometimes that does happen. So when we have tools and techniques that are already in place, you're able to pull from that tool belt and go, okay, I have something to help. I have a technique. I can breathe through it.
I think the most critical piece to this is listening and also managing your own reaction. If you can manage your own reaction and take a deep listen to what's going on, what's really going on, you will find that you will be able to work through this. But if you're acting out of your emotions and you're not listening, you're missing the point. You're missing half of what's going on. So being able to manage your own emotions first is really the beginning of all of it.
It certainly is. And, you know, when I was in massage therapy and helping people to relieve stress in their body, what I found was people were coming from having that really intense stressors from an emotional state, something that had happened, whether they felt like they were wronged, grief, loss of job, whatever it is, it triggers an emotion in people. And when you are tense in your body and you relieve that tension, and you still have the triggers in your emotions, what happens? That tension comes back, right back in your body.
Right back, yeah.
So when we deal with emotions and not just stuff them down, but when we actually give it, you know, an emotional detox, we can help work through those things. And so when stress does strike, that emotional detox has cleared out all of that negativity from your past, and we can start from this present moment.
When you say emotional detox, can you explain what that means a little bit?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So again, we have so many emotions that we carry with us, whether we were, you know, left for 2 minutes by our caregiver at a grocery store, we hold that sometimes. And we hold that maybe as feeling abandoned, feeling less stressed, or I'm sorry, less trusting. We feel those things and we carry that into adulthood. And then we find evidence to really build that up. And it continues as a cycle over and over. Wow. So, you know, all of those emotions, I mean, think about, you know, if you're filling up your bucket with negativity, but you don't have a little escape and all of that's just building up. What happens? It just compiles and compiles.
Oh my gosh. Until you break down.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And so what we do help people with is to have that emotional release, and whether it be in that moment or, you know, really take all of those emotions that's built up over several years, decades, their lifetime sometimes, and really let go of that. And that's an amazing thing to be able to do.
So give us an example of what you mean by this emotional detox.
So an emotional detox. Now, so many times we've felt abandoned, but it could stem from, you know, your mom just letting you play. And all of a sudden you look around and like, where's mom? And you go, wait, did she leave me? And you feel this sense of loss and mistrust and abandonment. And She's really watching you from around the corner. And so sometimes we carry that because it's an unresolved emotion. And so whether it be, you know, lack of trust, whether it be anger, sadness, you know, a lot of times we don't complete the emotion. We don't really let it go. Sometimes we stuff down the emotions. You know, I'm really good at stuffing down emotions. Have you done that before?
Oh, yeah. You know? Sure have.
Yeah. And the more we stuff it down, the less we let it go. And so because time has gone on, because other things happen in our lives, we don't think that that emotion or that incident affects us anymore. Mm. But then what happens? A trigger happens. Maybe it's your daughter texting you and you go, wait a second. I remember this time when XYZ happened and emotions start coming back up.
So
when we let go and we have that emotional detox, anger, sadness, fear, resentment, you know, we let all of that go. It's kind of like taking out the garbage for good.
Yeah. Well, give us like one technique on how we could just let go of an emotion.
How you can let go of an emotion. Well, one thing that's super simple is, you know, when you're thinking about a tragic thing that's happened. I just lost a friend just a couple days ago, and I really, it's been weighing on me very heavily. And I've been going through a lot of sadness. I've been going through, you know, the stages of grief. Thank you. And the interesting thing about it is that we all go through these challenges in our lives. And what really shifted for me is when I go, okay, you know what? My friend isn't here anymore. And I'm definitely going to continue to grieve. However, thinking about that smile, thinking about, you know, the thing that she brought joy to. And she would just, you know, light up the room by just going, "How y'all's doing?" And, you know, just that simple, you know, trigger would move my emotion back to, oh my gosh, she brought so much light and love.
Right.
Right. And, yeah. And it happens often because, you know, I mean, if you think about it, you know, if you're in a really bad space and you get a text message from the person that you love the most, and it just brings a smile to your face. It's a really quick and easy shift of emotion. So when you take it that way and go, okay, I realize that I'm having anxiousness or sadness. What's the complete opposite? Happiness, right? And so you go, what's that? Where can I find happiness in this moment?
Oh, I like that.
And bring that to the forefront. And that goes along with realigning the R in the self-care, is realigning what's important to you. And if what's important to you is to, you know, to keep my friend's memory alive, then I bring out those really good emotions and that forward thinking, rather than just getting stuck in that tension and that loss and that hopelessness. So I know that's kind of heavy. We talked about getting deep here, but it can be very simple as well. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a good point, is to remember the good parts and, you know, grieve as you need to grieve. I was very specific about writing some of this information in the book that I wrote about my father. I call it authentic grieving. And so the idea is that you grieve like however you need to. Mm-hmm. And so I talked about when I went food shopping for the first time after my father died. My father loved to go food shopping. And like, as I'm checking out, I literally had an emotional breakdown with the people that I was checking out with. And you know what? I just let it go. I let all the tears come out. And I'm like, I just lost my dad. Like, I literally broke down. And you know what? I allowed myself to do that. And I allowed myself to like live into that moment of grief. And it was just like, by doing these things, just kind of like randomly crying when I needed to, it helped me grieve the death of my father, but also remembering those things that made him him, and to carry through the legacy, and knowing that he continues to come into my life through my life, right? So I carry him in my heart as I go on. So I love
that. How amazing is that? That is an amazing, you know, realization or awareness that you had in that, because, you know, just like you're having this podcast, those were the ingredients that he started with. And then you're carrying that on. So when you went shopping and now you're taking on those ingredients, and what are you choosing, and what are you, you know, going to put together, and what are you creating out of the next? So I love that you're not only living that legacy, but you're also letting him live his through your work and your book and all of the things that you're doing to continue that. That's amazing. I love that.
And it just so happened to be like food shopping story that I was telling you. So what is next about how we can help ourselves deal with stress in the moment?
And in the moment, you know, one of the things that I think what happens is that we second guess ourselves. And we go, well, you know, the last time I made this decision, I either regretted it, or I could have done this, or I could have done that better. And, you know, when we look back at the decisions that we make, it's easy to make a better decision, isn't it? But when we're making a decision in the moment, I think what's important too is the E of the self-care, is the energizing your decision. So once you make that decision with all of the other things in alignment, you've gone inside of yourself for the answer, you've contained the problem or situation, you have an awareness of what it is, you're realigning with what is important to you, and finally making that decision and energizing it with every emotion that you have, because you've made it. It's been your choice. And get behind yourself, you know, with 100% certainty, because if you have even 1% doubt, think about it, 1% doubt creates 100% uncertainty. Wow. If you have a balloon that's filled with air, you have one little pinprick, it just deflates your whole balloon.
Thank you for reviewing the I Care method in which you can help yourself when stress strikes. Sarah, tell us a little bit about what you're working on and where the Stay on Course audience can find out more about you.
Ah, great. Thank you so much. I am working on helping people with their stress relief and helping them to, you know, really streamline their productivity so that they don't stay in that stuck state. And how you can find me is through a free gift. If I can give your audience a free gift, I'd love to. Excellent. You can go to free gift from Sarah. That's S-A-R-A, freegiftfromsarah.com. And you'll be able to get some of my stress relieving techniques. We'll give you a startup kit and you'll be able to get the book Stressed Out and Don't Know What to Do.
Sarah, thank you so much for your wisdom and being a guest on the Stay on Course podcast.
Julie, thank you so much.
Stress isn't your boss. Stress is something you can control. From where we started, I asked the question, is stress taking over your life? Now with the eye care mix, you've got what it takes to shake it off. Remember where we started from. Can we turn stress into your secret sauce to success? Now, with the power of looking in, controlling, understanding, and staying true to what matters, will help you make the decisions you need to not only just go along for the ride, but realize that you're in charge of your personal wellness. So here it is, straight up. You're not a victim of stress. So take charge, stick to your values, and sprinkle your decisions with a bit of new energy. Stay inspired, stay motivated, and always keep your own flavor alive. Stay on course, everyone. Until the next time we meet, have a great, fantastic, wonderful, amazing day. My dad, Ennio Riga, was not just a chef. He was my hero. From the hardships of World War II to the heights of culinary excellence, his story is nothing short of remarkable. Now, this story lives on in Stay on Course, a book that is very close to my heart. It's filled with his own words, his recipes, and the wisdom he imparted to me. Just imagine, 4 months before he passed, he handed me his life story, urging me to finish it. In these pages, you'll discover the secrets behind mouthwatering dishes and the lessons he taught me about leadership and perseverance. And trust me, there are some incredible tales in here, like the time he pulled off a birthday bash for Frank Sinatra with just 48 hours notice. So, if you're hungry for inspiration and craving a taste of Ennio's legacy, head over to stayoncoursebook.com. That's stayoncoursebook.com. Grab your copy and let his story ignite your passion.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Stay on Course. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast so Julie can continue serving up delectable experts and appetizing content directly to your earbuds. And remember, right now, you have the ingredients to be living the life you are meant to live. This has been a production of The Media Casters.